Good afternoon. Welcome back. Yeah, I think you guys would like to go home on time too. I'd like to call to order the May 7th, 2020 meeting of the TPA's Bicycle Trails Pedestrian Advisory Committee regarding the 2020 Transportation Alternatives Program projects, presentations, and ranking. Please note that pursuant to the Governor's Executive Order Number 20-69, TPA Operating Procedures Section 6.2, and TPA Emergency Order Number 2020-01, this meeting is being conducted without having a quorum of its members present physically or at any specific location, and utilizing communications media technology instead. For today's meeting, we are utilizing the Zoom webinar platform. Committee members, scheduled presenters, and the TPA's committee liaison will be appearing at today's meeting remotely either via webcam or telephone. Committee members, please note that your microphones are initially set on mute. When you wish to be recognized, please use the raise hand function within the Zoom platform. You should unmute your microphone when you're recognized. I'm just going to add that some of the members were having issues with the raise hand function, and it's okay to physically wave if you're having problems. Members of the public can join the meeting by installing the free Zoom app and entering the webinar ID and password provided on the agenda. You can also join via web browser at the website provided in the agenda. You can watch a live stream of the meeting at www.palmbeachtpa.org/live. Finally, you can join by phone using the phone number, webinar ID, and password provided on the agenda. Public comments can be submitted online at the website provided in item 1.F on the agenda. Public comments can also be made live through the Zoom webinar platform. When you wish to be recognized, please use the raise hand function within the Zoom platform and then wait to be recognized by the chair and unmuted by the meeting host. Staff, please call the roll to see that we can establish that a quorum exists and so that the public will know who is attending this meeting. Committee members, please remember to unmute your microphones prior to responding to the roll call. Roll call.
And Eric, I will unmute all just in an abundance of caution just to make sure. Okay, so Sally Channon, I don't see her here. Eric Ferguson.
Here.
Ted. Good enough?
Here.
Michael Howell?
Here.
Gene Matthews is excused. Yash Nagal?
Here.
Fadi Nassar?
Here.
Michael Owens is excused. Craig Pinder?
Here.
Olga Pareto? And I don't see Ryan in this one. Okay. Brian Ruscher?
Here.
Bob Sabin?
Here.
Joanne Sicaria?
Here.
Stephanie Thoburn?
Here.
And Larry Wallace? We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Okay. The agenda's been distributed. Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Oh, sorry, Bob. Yep. And is there a second? Unmuting?
Second.
Okay, so I have a motion by Bob, second by Ted. Thank you.
Are we going to unmute everyone for this, Marvy?
Yes, I can unmute all.
Okay. So all in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Aye. Let's do that again. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Say nay. The motion passes. Sorry about that. Okay. Item 3, motion to recommend adoption of the 2020 Transportation Alternatives Program Project Application Rankings. The 2020, where the acronym's TA, Transportation Alternatives Program Project Applicants, will provide 10-minute presentations as outlined in your packet, followed by 5 minutes of questions and answers. I'm going to emphasize we're going to have 5 minutes of questions and answers in each presentation. Upon completion of all applicants' presentations, BPAC members will discuss and vote to accept or move to reorder the project rankings as scored. So staff has an objective scoring, and we will potentially reorder the rankings. Project rankings will be provided to the TPA governing board in any order adopted by the BTPAC. So are we ready to start presentations, Margie? Is that?
I believe our first presentation, I'm sorry, I'm trying to pull it up on my screen here.
First is PalmTrans.
Yes, and if, Yash, if you're ready to go, I know your presentation time isn't officially starting until 2, but if you want to go ahead and present now, you can do so.
Sure, I'm ready. Let me just share my screen. Can you all see my screen?
Yes, we
can.
Awesome. So good afternoon, everyone. Once again, my name is Yash Nagel. I'm a senior transit planner at PalmTran. Before we begin the presentation, I would like to thank both the TPA staff and my organization, PalmTran, to let me present here today before all of you. Just to give you some context, PalmTran is the second largest paratransit provider in the state, but the seventh largest fixed route provider, which puts substantial pressure on our paratransit system. The fixed route network has 2,984 fixed route stops. 19% of those are shelters, 34% of those are benches, 44% ADA non-compliant stops, which are just poles in the ground, and 3% ADA compliant stops, which are also poles in the ground, which makes this project super critical. Moving into the purpose of this project, the purpose of this project is to address the lack of ADA stop level infrastructure. Palm Beach County has a significant amount of elderly or disabled population that relies on public transportation. These residents have concerns accessing the fixed route system with the lack of ADA accessible ramps connecting bus stops to the sidewalk. With the rising ridership on PalmTran connection, it is crucial that PalmTran improve ADA accessibility at bus stops to attract those who may use paratransit but could use the fixed route system. Moving into the process, PalmTran will provide 5 feet by 8 feet concrete sidewalks that connect the existing sidewalks to 116 fixed route stops in the county by providing an ADA compliant boating and alighting area for passengers, making the fixed route system more attractive to the customers. The requested grant is $388,884, and the availability of these funds, if approved, will be 2025. There will be no county funds required for this grant, and the picture on the right refers to the fact that the goal would be to connect the stop landing area to the sidewalk by constructing a landing pad. Moving into the roles and responsibilities, construction, engineering, and inspection will be taken care of by Palm Beach County. We have selected the stops on county-maintained roads to ease the construction for this project. Things like project overages and change orders will be taken care of by PalmTran. Here are the three classifications of ADA improvements. NA1, which requires modifications behind the sidewalk. NA2, which requires modifications behind curb to sidewalk. And NA3, which requires modification from edge of the pavement to the sidewalk. The focus of this project is the stops that qualify under NA2 category improvements. Finally, the next steps and coordination for this project include successfully applying for the grant, training our internal staff, and doing public outreach to inform the public about the improvements as well as closures if needed at the stops. The map on the right side of the slide shows the areas and stops where the ADA improvements are going to be made. Lastly, Pamtrain is also embarking on an ADA contract, which will address the remainder of the stops as appropriate. With that, I would like to say that we are grateful for this partnership with the TPA and are excited to do amazing things in the future. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have and appreciate any feedback you can give. Thank you.
And I will just remind the committee that you are all muted. So if you have any questions or comments, you will need to either raise your hand, wave at the screen, and I can help unmute you.
Okay, Margie, do we have any hand? I don't see the hand raisings with that presentation still up.
I don't either. Oh, Ted, he's trying to play tricks on me. Ted does have a comment. Hold on, let me unmute him. Go ahead, Ted, I unmute you.
I guess I heard a lot, and I understand that most of the fixed route buses actually can, I believe it's referred to as bow, so that they can lower the sidewalk side. I didn't hear anything in your presentation about, and I'm not sure that this is the right term, but fixing the issues with the paratransit, i.e., I work in Boynton Beach. I live in West Palm. I have spent as much as 3 hours getting home. And the routes, sometimes I actually had a route that went past my house twice before going into my community and dropping me off. What are you looking into to fix the scheduling system?
So I work for the fixed route network, and at Pamtrain we have a fixed route network, and then we have paratransit network, which are two separate departments. But I can tell you that we've been looking at dial-a-ride systems to get a better scheduling software for us and also manage that demand better, so which will allow us to get passengers to their destinations in a timely manner. But other than that, I can forward your question to somebody in paratransit, but I really don't have an exact answer to your question.
I appreciate that and your honesty.
Okay.
On the fixed route, is there any possibility of getting some sort of audible signal that says this is a stop? Because I'm blind, and I can't walk up to a bus stop if I don't know where it is, and
So actually, we're working on getting electronic signage, and this would be a part of that project. I don't have an end date or completion date for that right now, but that's one of our projects to improve the bus stops.
And just one last thing before I let you go, and I appreciate your time. Is there any possibility of getting an app that we could download to our phone that would turn on that signal so it didn't bother everybody else all the time? So it would maybe, as we know we're getting close, then we hit the app and it starts to beep or whatever audio signal you want to give. Again, because I don't want to bother everybody with a chirp every 15 seconds and they're going, what the heck? Why is this happening? So
right now, the electronic signage that we're demoing, that one has a sensor where if you walk close to it, it'll just tell you the bus that's about to come. So basically, that's how you know that's a bus stop. But the point you mentioned is a brilliant point, and I can definitely pass that on to our IT department. So once we do have electronic signage and the system at the stop, this is just an easy feature to add to it. So it wouldn't be a problem.
Excellent. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for your feedback and questions.
It might be helpful. I'm not sure how user-friendly it would be, but there's an app called Transit App, and Pamtrain is in that system. And if you say it's kind of like a trip planning app. And so if you say I want to go from one point to another by selecting an address or a location on a map, it then gives you step-by-step directions, including how many feet or you need to get to the actual stop and when the bus is going to arrive. So you can turn on the audio notifications for that in that app, and that might be a helpful way to geolocate you to the bus stop and let you know when the bus is coming.
Interesting. I'll have to – so that's an app that's already out there. And
yeah, it's called Transit App, and it's in the majority of large cities around the world are integrated into the map. Here in South Florida, PalmTran has real-time information in it, and then there's also scheduled information for Tri-Rail BCT and also Miami-Dade. So you can plan your trip across the three counties, and it tells you your different options, how long it'll take, and also gives you an estimate of time for walking or biking or Uber, Lyft, and how much estimated that would cost. So it might be it's an app I use when I travel or try to take transit. So it might be a good one to check out.
So how close do you have to get before it starts to tell you that you're near the bus stop?
So I haven't tried it. I haven't turned on the notifications, but it gives you step-by-step directions, kind of like as if you were using Google Maps or directions. So when you choose your, it'll say walk, 100 feet, turn right, and then you wait for the bus. So I haven't personally tried it to that level, but I have seen the directions on there, and I know you can turn on audio notifications to tell you when you should get off the bus and when the bus is coming. So might be something to check out.
Yeah, I'll have to have the first time have my wife or a mobility expert help me out with the first time, because not that I'm going to ride a whole lot of fixed route, because I live on a section of Okeechobee that is hugely wide, and crossing 7 or 8 lanes and not being able to see the traffic. I can hear it, but anyway, I digress. I'll let somebody else have the floor. And thank you for the information.
Hey, Marge, is there any other raised hands?
I have Stephanie with a raised hand.
Okay, Stephanie. I have to unmute her.
So I have a question related to what percentage of the stops are in the Vision Zero action plan? And the same thing can be said as what percentage of the stops are in a tier one for the TPA. And then I have another question as well.
So are you saying what percentage of the stops, like Vision Zero for the city separately, or?
For what percentage of the stops that you're proposing improvements to provide ADA are within the Vision Zero action plan? Did you do a comparison?
I would have to look that up. I never did a comparison for that.
Okay. I'm just wondering, because that's part of our scoring, is to see how – I didn't go and look at the Vision Zero action plan specifically for every single – since you had so many stops that you were looking at, I didn't go and review that information. So I was just wondering in terms of
– the way we didn't – I don't believe we calculated the percentage, but because there's so many stops that serve the entire county, and we've identified a few Vision Zero hot spots and corridors, that these stops, there were stops within those Vision Zero corridors serving the Vision Zero corridors, so we gave them the points for Vision Zero since they're improving stops within the Vision Zero locations.
Is that the same with the tier one roads?
Checking.
I mean, they're all.
Yes, yeah, they provide, they do provide improvements to tier one locations, so they got points for that.
Okay, very good. Last question. What public outreach, and maybe it's in your application, but I had problems with Dropbox. So what public outreach did you do in order to get some public support?
You're saying what we usually do?
For
this project.
Yeah, on this project, specifically related to ADA improvements, one of the criteria is, reaching out to people, to the areas and the residents that could be impacted and getting input. And I recognize your project has more, has more locations, but I just saw one letter that, from PalmTran to support it. And I didn't know if there was any outreach to residents or even complaints to say, hey, I would like these things to be added just so that we can compare you with other applications that are asking for the same for monies.
We haven't done any outreach for this program right now. The slide that I had, public outreach, that was more pertaining to when we do the construction or we get approved, how do we get the message out to the public? That is more of our social media and everything in our website, and our marketing department goes out, does our public outreach events. So that's all when we're about to do it. But as of right now for the project, we haven't done any public outreach.
Okay, thank you.
We do have a customer complaint department where we can get all the complaints that are related to this topic, and we can get a list of that. So actually, that's a great idea. So thank you for that.
I guess before we go on with questions, I realize I went out of order. We're supposed to see if there's any public comments on this item.
On this item there, I would have stopped you, but for this one, we weren't expecting public comments, and we don't have any. There is the Wellington project that we are expecting public comments, but so far that's the only one in writing we've gotten, but I'll keep reminding you.
Okay, do we have any more raised hands?
Brian has his hand raised.
Okay.
Has to do with how the scoring was done for also median household income and any others where it's similar to the Vision Zero Action Plan. You know, it sounds like TPA staff scored if it had stops located within the Vision Zero Action Plan. Did you take that approach as well for underserved population, household income within 1 mile, and any other scoring within that within the categories?
Yes, because these stops are all over the county and primarily in these urbanized areas and areas that are traditionally underserved, they did receive points as these are basically fixing stops that are not ADA compliant across the entire county. So they did receive points for that because they are fixing that in those areas as well.
Okay, thank you.
Margie, any other raised hands?
I have Ted has his hand up.
Is there any, Ted's already asked, is there anyone who hasn't spoken ahead of Ted?
I do have that Olga. She sent me an email that she's appearing by phone. I don't know if she's having problems with the panelist link, so I'm resending it to her. But I just want to unmute her in case she does have a question. Olga, you should be able to make a comment.
I don't have any comment on this right now.
Okay, all right.
And before we go back to Ted, is it correct we were going to do this from 2 to 2:15, so we're a little ahead of schedule? Is that
correct?
Okay.
You guys get through the beginning part faster than the other committees, so we had planned for a longer time, so you're ahead of schedule for us.
It's good because I did set a clock, and we are well over 5 minutes of questions, but that's great. I just, one thing I'm going to ask, if the question's not germane to the application, we can get you the contact information of the different agencies and you could have those discussions separately. So, I know 5 minutes isn't a lot of time. So just as far as respect to your other committee members, to let's just try to keep questions that are germane to the project at hand. With that, let's recognize Ted again. The second time.
I can pass on my question and contact. It was about how I know this is a lot about construction and becoming ADA compliant with that. I've never ridden one of the fixed route buses, but how do the buses try and assist the population of deaf persons in our county?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have some time, Yash. We're ahead of schedule, so no point.
Oh, okay. I would have to get back to you on that. I don't have a full answer for it, and I don't want to tell you anything half.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Eric, I do have that Joanne raised her hand.
Okay. All right, Joanne, unmute.
Two quick questions for Yash. What percentage of PalmTrans stops are you proposing to improve with these funds?
It would be 116 stops out of the total stops that are 2984. But a lot of our stops that are shelters are already ADA accessible, and you have benches that are ADA accessible.
Okay.
And you have normal stuff that are ADA accessible.
That goes into my next question. What was the selection process for the 116 locations that you picked?
They had to qualify as NA2, which is, I can't see my screen anymore. Let me go back. So the stops had to be NA2, which is, they require modifications to height curb to sidewalk. This was a qualifying criteria. That's how we picked all the stops.
And then once these stops are improved, do you have information on how many stops are remaining to be improved to be ADA compliant?
One second. No, I can tell you that, but I would have to subtract the numbers, that's all.
Okay, well, I guess if you want to do some quick math and someone else wants to go, those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mark, I see Fatty raise his hand. Physically, Margie?
Yes.
Fatty?
Yeah, I just want to mention that the county is in support of this project, and we'll be doing the design and construction, so that's all.
Thank you.
Or any other questions before we go back to Joanne?
I don't have any other hands raised that I can see.
I have one, Yash. Are the stops in the, someone, I got a little bit of outstop.
Yep.
Are the improvements in incorporated and unincorporated areas?
Can you say that again, please?
Are the improvements
are the stops in unincorporated areas?
Or are they in municipalities and outside of municipalities?
They're also outside, yes.
Okay. And then who?
But most of the stops are on county maintained roads.
And then does the county maintain the stuff that's built afterwards, or is it PalmTrans?
You mean the ADA pad?
Yeah.
We can maintain it. I mean, it's not a lot of maintenance on those, so that'll be us, yeah.
Okay, so I think that'd be part of your county permitting who's the responsible for it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all I have.
Thank you for your question.
Let's see, Stephanie. Go ahead, Margie.
No, I was going to say Stephanie, but you saw it.
Okay. So back to Stephanie.
One more question. I saw in the presentation that the request for monies was $388,000. But I thought that it was in the application at $299,000. So I'm just wondering the between the amounts, how did that occur?
I can go back and check that number. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Valerie.
The amount requested to the TPA per the application was $299,075, and then there was a local local funding from Palm Tran of the difference to reach the $355,000 per the application. And just another point of clarification, I think it might have been a typo in this slide, but the funding is for 2023, so actually fiscal year 2024, and I think a slide said 2025, so I just wanted to note that for this program, the funding is 3 years out. For our other funding program, local initiatives, that's 5 years out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Marge, any?
I don't see any other hands raised.
All right. I think Joanne, was your question answered? Do we want to go back? Was your question answered?
Yeah, she had that information. I'm just curious if there are any two stops remaining after, what percentage of the stops that have that NA2 issue are remaining after you?
So I can tell you how many stops will be remaining that wouldn't be ADA.
Okay.
But I don't know which one of those would be NA2. It would be around 1,500 something, 1,550. That would be still okay. Remaining.
To be improved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
60% of our stops are ADA. Almost 60% of our stops are ADA accessible.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Margie, any other members have questions?
No, I don't see any other hands raised.
Okay.
And it looks like our next presenters are all here. So if you want to move on to the gardens presentation.
Okay, so final call for Palm Tran. Okay, we're going to move. We're next item, next presentation, City of Palm Beach Gardens, Kyoto Gardens Drive.
And you are muted, Joanne.
Is it okay for me to start sharing my screen?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for this opportunity to present this project. It's my pleasure on behalf of the City of Palm Beach Gardens to present the Kyoto Gardens Drive sidewalk and bicycle lane project this afternoon. To give some background, the project limits are the Kyoto Gardens Drive right-of-way from North Military Trail to alternate A1A. It is a city-owned road, and it is a significant link in a significant east-west link in our city that provides connection from Military Trail to A1A. The next opportunities to make that connection are up at Hood Road and then down south by Burns Road. So it's an important east-west connection in our city. It currently exists as a four-lane divided road with a 5-foot sidewalk on the south side only. In 2019, the adjacent property owner, Florida Power and Light, went through the site plan approval process. And through that process, they committed to the expansion of the existing sidewalk on the south side to a 12-foot wide shared use path, which we're all familiar with now after our presentation this morning. And this TA grant application is for the construction of an 8-foot wide sidewalk and a 5-foot wide bicycle lane on the north side to address the north side of the road. Here we have a location map. An aerial photo that depicts the limits of the 110-foot wide right-of-way. It's bound by Military Trail to the west here, and then alternate A1A to the east. Here we have some photos of the existing conditions. The first photo is a view looking toward the north, kind of towards the east side of the roadway. The next photo is looking from the median to the north side of the roadway, which is where the improvements are proposed to be located. And then once again, from the median to the north side, a little bit more west. And The final photo is from the north side, approximately where the bicycle lane would be located. To provide some local context, we have a community map here highlighting some of the local resources that are within proximity of this area. So within a 1 mile radius, we have the Gardens Mall, which includes a transit hub for PalmTran, a future Tri-Rail station, the Palm Beach County and Palm Beach Gardens District Park, County Courthouse, Palm Beach Gardens Library, Downtown Palm Beach Gardens, which is a commercial center, as well as Legacy Place, another commercial center, as well as Novan University and Strayer University. Within a 2 mile radius, we have Burns Road Recreation Center and Palm Beach State College. And then within a 3 mile radius, we have Florida Atlantic University, as well as numerous public schools all throughout this 3 mile radius. I also want to take a moment to highlight some of the development activity in this area, because there actually is quite a bit. First, we have at Downtown Palm Beach Gardens several petitions under review to convert this site to a mixed-use project, which is proposed to incorporate a residential component, a multifamily residential component, as well as a hotel use. Additionally, there is a future Tri-Rail station that I highlighted earlier on the community map. That project is also looking at incorporating a multifamily residential building. They're also proposing an office building, as well as a hotel site that was recently completed. And as I mentioned, Florida Power and Light is the adjacent property owner, and they are currently under construction for their phase one site plan, which is 270,000 square feet. On the screen before you, we have the existing right-of-way that shows the four lanes and the paved shoulders and the sidewalk on the south side. And here is our proposed cross-section. The improvements that I are on the left side of the screen are on the south side of the roadway, and these are the improvements that are committed by FPL, which include this 12-foot wide shared use path. And so our focus for this project is on the north side, on the right-hand side of the screen, the 8-foot meandering sidewalk with lighting and the bicycle lane, as well as landscaping. I'm proud to share that the City Council of Palm Beach Gardens adopted our mobility plan in September of 2019. It's the result of years of public input and coordination between city departments, various agencies, and the public. And this improvement, this project, is also included within the Palm Beach Gardens mobility plan. It's also important to note that this sidewalk gap is noted by the TPA as a Tier 1 pedestrian sidewalk location. We have included an engineer's cost estimate with our application for a total project cost of $970,990 and TA grant amount of $905,765. I'm pleased to share we've received letters of support from the Palm Beach North Chamber of Commerce, ShopCorp, which is the owners of Downtown Palm Beach Gardens, which is currently under review for the residential and hotel project that I mentioned, as well as Florida Power and Light, the adjacent property owner, as well as our City Council passed a resolution of support at their April City Council meeting, which has been submitted to TPA staff. And with that, staff is available to answer any questions. Thank you so much.
Okay, Marge, any public comments on this item?
Valerie did remind me that we're going to do the public comments at the end of all the presentations. That way we can keep on schedule. But at this time, any members can either physically raise their hand or they can use the raise hand feature.
Okay, do we have any?
I have Stephanie and Brian.
Okay, Stephanie first.
Thank you for bringing up the information about Vision Zero and Tier One. Couple more questions though. Were there any intersection improvements proposed along either alternate A1A or Military Trail? Saw the sections, but I didn't see if there were anything additional proposed along the intersections.
As far as intersection improvements, there is not too much that's necessary as part of this project. I believe we're looking at some crosswalks, and I believe we have our city engineer available to answer questions as well. I don't know, Todd, do you want to hop in and highlight anything specific that is needed at the intersections?
I'm happy to jump in too.
Okay.
Go ahead, Todd.
Can I just stop one sec? Just state your name, because Ted can't read the names. So before you speak, just state your name for the record.
Of course. Go ahead, Todd.
Todd Engel, I'm the city engineer with Palm Beach Gardens. Currently, the DOT has an interchange on Central Boulevard being designed in I-95. With that, there'll be some modifications to the interchange at Military and Kyoto Gardens Drive, as well as the double tracking with the FEC right now. That's currently probably going to take place June, July of this year. So there are some modifications there as well. And there's also possibly a turn lane modification Military coming into Kyoto Gardens Drive. That is just an extension that will just elongate that turn lane a little bit.
If I can add to that, my name is Natalie Crowley. I'm the Director of Planning and Zoning for the City of Palm Beach Gardens. Stephanie, thanks for the question. Hope you're doing well. I just want to point out that although this grant does not include any specific intersection improvements, our mobility plan does. So I think Joanne in her presentation highlighted the city's mobility plan. In the city's mobility plan, we do have both of those intersections recognized for enhanced pedestrian crossings. A lot of it is subject to change. As Todd had pointed out, we have improvements going along on the double tracking, and then we have the Central Boulevard interchange that's going to affect, you know, some of the vehicular circulation. But it's the city's goal to designate funding to improve the pedestrian and other modes of traffic at those intersections to connect downtown at the gardens. But for this specific grant request, it doesn't include any of those intersection requests. We focused specifically on this link. And some of that was just budgetary constraint based on the amount of money that we're allowed to ask. If we were to include intersection improvements at this point, we'd be over that threshold. But it's still a priority for the city, and it is in our mobility plan that's been adopted by council.
That's good. I have one more question. The median household incomes, I believe there's some quads to the north along Military Trail. I was wondering if any information on that tract, or like what is that grouping of household income?
That's Winchester Courts, and I know those quads very well. Not only from a density standpoint, but we worked with that community before, during the construction of Kyoto, to ensure that the design was harmonious with their community. Certainly, they are, my guess at this point is that, if you were to look at the census block, it's not its own census block. And so it's hard to get data to be able to isolate those quads. They're probably grouped in with Garden Woods, which is the community to the north, which are single family. But certainly the average incomes of those residences immediately to the north and the density are, if you were just to look at that community and Sable Ridge, which is just north of Nova, it's definitely below the average income in Gardens. The average income in Garden is about 67. And I can almost say with 100% certainty that those residences are below.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Margie, the Brian's next. What you said?
Put my hand down. My question also had to do with the intersections. Thank you, Stephanie, for thinking of those.
Okay, who's next?
I don't see any more hands raised. I'm just double checking. Okay. Yeah, we don't have any more committee members with their hand raised.
Okay, I had, I guess I'll go then. You answered the railroad crossing for me. That's going to be done as a separate project, perhaps with the double tracking. I was wondering about the trees on the north. It looks like there's oaks. Are you saving the existing trees? Is that correct?
This is Todd Engel, city engineer again with Palm Beach Gardens. those trees, there's the oak trees in there, and there's also some sables in there. The oak trees, good thing, are sized right now where we can spade them and just shift them. That sidewalk will meander a bit. We're going to try to go the path of least resistance, but we will have to move a few of the oaks in there to get that to meander correctly, and we'll have to relocate some of the sables that are further to the west of the road. So then there'll be some enhanced landscaping too, but those trees right now are of size where I can actually pick them up and move them over 4 or 5 feet to get the sidewalk through.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not planning on removing anything, but we were going to wiggle the sidewalk around them.
And then my other thing, it may not be feasible from kind of a budgetary standpoint, but we had a presentation this morning, and sort of those speeds, conventional bike lane, really aren't the best thing. It maybe if totally might take it with a grain of salt, but if there was a much wider sidewalk only, or versus providing some sort of buffered bike lane, but it's a good section, but something to think about. I realize the budgetary constraints probably why you arrived at the section you did. Some of the really the protected bike lanes, if the whole thing could be one really wide path, maybe it's something to think about.
I'm happy to make a comment on that, or Joanne or Todd, however you want to address it. Go ahead, Todd. That's fine.
I was thinking if you're talking about taking that 5 foot pathway and making it protective, so I would need another foot and a half there. Mm-hmm. It's possible we can get that, because we do have to shift that center median to the south a tad bit in order to make enough room for that bike lane. And I can possibly shift that over a little more and take some out of the sidewalk area. So if it was a 7 foot sidewalk and a 5 foot protected bike lane, there may be enough room to make that happen if that's something you guys are interested in seeing. It's just shifting the design a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's really our purview, but just a suggestion. But
through our mobility plan, we are going to install, that's going to be one of the next projects along our Burns Road corridor, a protected bike lane. So we're going to go through that process. So we could put a similar design here if that's something you were interested in seeing.
I would say the federal highway, the latest guidance that we saw this morning, that's the recommendation out of federal highways. 35 and up, I think,
right.
On that chart this morning. So,
right. Todd, posted speed on Kyoto's 35, right? Or is it?
It's 35.
Yeah. I mean, we do have the 12-foot multi-use on the south, which we're really excited about. And that certainly provides an option for those who are traveling on Kyoto for if they're just not quite comfortable utilizing that. I think when we were looking at the cross section, it was just getting really tight with some of the existing landscaping in the median. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why, team, refresh my memory, but I think that's why we opted with the paint, as a means of protecting the bike.
Yes, it did help us protect some of the landscaping further to the north. And it provided us to get access. We got a choke point at the bridge just before you get to Military Trail. With this alignment, it gives us that continuous 5 foot bike lane.
That is a good point. We did include a Sharrows when we get closer to the bridge. So.
Okay. Is there any other members, Margie? We can move on.
I don't see any other members with their hands raised, and since we are moving through this fairly quickly, Westgate is not on the call yet.
Okay.
It looks like, actually, now that I say that, I see some of them popping up.
Okay.
And so they may just be getting connected now.
Okay, we're 10 minutes ahead of schedule.
I know, you guys are really...
You guys are efficient
through this, I know.
May I ask a quick question procedurally?
Sure.
I noted that public comment is at the end of the presentations. Do you wish for us to remain on the call have the panelists remain on this so that if there's questions from the public, we can address those? We're happy to do so. Just didn't know if you needed us or not.
Valerie, do you want to answer that?
It's really up to you. The public comments will be read into the record and the committee can take it for consideration, but it's up to you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Margie, do we have the Westgate team?
I do see Heather's connected, and I believe she was the one making the presentation. Heather, are you ready to go? They are moving a little bit quicker.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Heather.
Hi.
We're on the other side today.
it's so interesting. I like it. I believe we're waiting for Denise. Okay. So once she gets on, then we can get started.
All right.
I see where David is now online, so I'm going to head out, and David will be taking over for me at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Can I ask before we get started how we're voting?
I think we'll discuss that after the presentations. What I was planning to do is see if there's consensus based on have discussion. We may want to do a motion about that, but my thought was we would, it's a good question, we would see if there's, have discussion, see if there's a consensus, and we have a backup plan of if it goes on, there's no consensus, we could we're kind of limited with Zoom, with scoring sheets and things, being it's an emergency declaration. The thought is we would have each member list their top six in order. We have a spreadsheet ready to go, and then we could announce those results and then see if there's would be a motion at that time to accept that scoring. That's kind of where I was thinking of going with it.
Okay, that works. I just was just wondering if we were doing maybe verbal score sheets or something. But this, your idea seems a lot.
I think we'll have a discussion, see if there's a second, if the second goes somewhere. And if we can't get consensus, then we have verbal score sheets as a plan B. Ready to go.
Okay, no problem.
But I really think it'd be good to have that dialogue of every member first about the projects versus just everyone going to a verbal score sheet without maybe seeing what the other members like about certain projects. That's kind of what this is a little unusual with the Zoom, so. Okay, I see a lot of people popping up. Is Westgate ready or we need more time? Or we have them muted so they can't tell us.
So you will need to unmute. Everyone's muted once they join the meeting.
Okay. I still don't see Denise. I see her.
I think we're still waiting on Denise.
Okay. Denise is not here yet. If we have to go forward, I can introduce the presentation.
If you'd like, yeah, we're 5 minutes ahead of schedule. If you think it's not going to affect your presentation, you can, it's up to you. So. And just, I'd add, housekeeping, if everyone would state their name, where we have some members that it's helpful for them to know who's speaking. They need that.
Yes, Elise Michel from the Westgate CRA. I'm the executive director of the Westgate CRA.
I'm Heather Danforth. I am a senior project manager at WGI.
Corey Hill. I'm the engineer with WGI.
There she is. Good.
Okay. Denise had joined us. Good afternoon again. My name is Elise Michel. I'm with the Westgate CRA. We are very happy that you've given us this time. We know it's really, we're living in a difficult world nowadays, but thanks to Zoom, we still are able to make the presentation. Denise, our senior planner, has been working with the consultants on this application. I'm going to turn it over to her. She will introduce the project and also the consultant for more information. Denise?
Hi, good afternoon. Denise Tunnel with the Westgate CRA. Can you all hear me well?
Yes,
sorry. Just turning up my volume. Heather, will you share the screen or?
Yes.
Thank you. There we go. Okay, so here with Elise Michel, the CRA's Executive Director, and also our project team, Heather Danforth and Corey Hill, both with WGI, to present our Cherry Road project for consideration for funding under the TPA's Transportation Alternatives Program. So we'll go ahead and start. Great. Westgate CRA is the only CRA in incorporated Palm Beach County. We're approximately 1,300 acres or 2 square miles, pretty centrally located to downtown West Palm Beach. You'll see our boundaries there. Go ahead and advance, Heather. We were created back in May of 1989, so we're just over 30 years old, by the Board of County Commissioners. We receive annual tax increment funding, or TIF, based on incremental increases in our property values. We leverage those dollars with state, federal, sometimes local grant funding to implement the goals of our redevelopment plan. Our primary objective being to eliminate blighted conditions in our area, in our redevelopment area, and of course increase the tax base and investment interest through economic opportunity, housing availability, community enhancement, and improvements to infrastructure. The CRA has a history with the TPA grant programs going back to 2017. Where we submitted and were approved for funding for the Belvedere Heights streetlights and sidewalk project. Phase one was awarded in 2017. Phase two awarded in 2018. We applied again. We were also awarded the Westgate Avenue Corridor Complete Streets project in 2018 under the LI program, and then Terminal Boulevard in 2019 under the TA program. The Cherry Road project was presented and submitted last year to the TPA, so you may be familiar with this project. If you were on board or on the committee last year, you would have heard us presenting a pretty similar project. We ranked high in it. We just didn't move forward with that project and chose to move forward with Seminole instead. I'll have Heather take it over from here to talk about a little bit of the details on the project, as well as Corey.
Okay. Thank you, Denise. The Cherry Road Corridor is roughly a little less than a half a mile. It is located between Military Trail to the west and Quail Drive to the east, which is the Belvedere Homes residential community. The commercial corridor, there's a commercial corridor over by Military Trail and then the residential homes on the right. So this is a direct connection between those two. In between on the north side is county facilities. It's a PBSO and it's the public library. And on the south side of the road is PBIA property, which will most likely never get developed. It's also halfway through the lot is the road is County Club Road, which is the shortcut to Walmart. Also, we wanted to note that there is 5 bus stops along this less than a half a mile route. And current conditions is a lot of the vehicular traffic is going quite fast. Therefore, as part of our project scope, right at Country Club Road, we'd like to highlight that we are proposing signalized pedestrian crossings, or HOCs, which is the pink in the center of the picture. In addition, we're proposing crosswalks connecting the commercial corridor along Military Trail and crosswalks connecting the residential on the north end side of the street. In addition, the project scope includes a 12-foot multi-use trail on the north side of the road, a 6-foot sidewalk on the south side of the road, plus pedestrian scale lighting throughout. I'm going to talk about the existing conditions, but then I'm going to hand it over to Corey, our project engineer, to talk about the design in detail. Currently, the entire road has 2 through lanes and then turn lanes over by the commercial corridor and over by the county facilities. There is 6-foot sod swales on both sides of the road and then a 6-foot asphalt sidewalk on the north side of the road. Currently, there is no sidewalk on the south side of the road, and there's currently no lighting in the right-of-way. There's 4 sections that are a part of the roadway. The first section, Section A, is a 60-foot right-of-way that's located near the commercial corridor. The second section is Section B. It's a 65-foot right-of-way, which is located between the commercial corridor to Country Club Road. This is the largest section of all of the sections. And then Section C is an 80-foot right-of-way from Country Club Road over to a bridge crossing a canal. And Section D is just a tiny section from the bridge that connects to the residential neighborhood. So I'll let, with those sections, I'll let Corey talk about the design.
All right, thanks, Heather. So the challenge we faced was getting all these proposed improvements that Heather just alluded to within the fixed right-of-way width. So just to move right into Section A, one thing to note, we are looking west for these typicals. So the south side on the typical will be on the left. And yeah, if you go to the next slide, you'll see Section A typical section. So we basically employed 2 strategies to create the width to establish the new multi-use trail on the north side, and that was to reduce the lane width from 12 feet to 11. And then also the existing road is crowned in the middle, and we're proposing to establish a curb on the high side and use overbuild so that the entire road now slopes to the south side. This allows us to place the multi-use trail right up against the curb and eliminate any need for a buffer between the edge of travel and the edge of the sidewalk. So you'll see that throughout each section. Section B, again, you're going to have reduced lane widths and that curb on the high side. If you go to the next slide there. And one thing to note in Section B, on the next slide.
You're not seeing Section B?
No, sorry. There we go. Okay.
Okay.
It's a little behind. All right, okay. Thanks. So Section B, again, multi-use trail with pedestrian lighting on the north side. The south side, you'll see on the aerial that clump of trees, which is a wetland area that we've coordinated with DOT that we are allowing to remain. So we're not affecting the south side. And then Section C is our widest 80-foot right-of-way. And so here we have a little more flexibility with what we can do. So we, again, have that continuous multi-use trail with lighting on the north side. But now we have opportunity for a new sidewalk on the south side. And that sidewalk is crucial to connecting the neighborhood to the bus stop that's on the corner of Cherry Road and Country Club. And you actually see the worn out path and the grass today. where people are walking. So we're going to establish that sidewalk and provide the connectivity there. And then section D just shows the little portion of sidewalk where an existing sidewalk ends abruptly in the grass. We're going to continue that over the bridge and get them to that bus stop.
Okay, thank you, Corey. Now I'll quickly go through the TPA scoring system. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, Heather.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, so now I'll quickly go through the TPA scoring system and just close it out that way. Basically, this project, I'll go through each of the items. This project has a positive environmental impacts. Like Corey said, we are not impacting any wetlands. We're not impacting any mature canopy trees that were on the north side of the corridor. And overall, we're going to improve the landscaping on the entire corridor. This project is consistent with the TPA's Vision Zero Action Plan. There has been a serious injury in vehicular, and there has been a pedestrian death along this corridor. So this project improves pedestrian and bicycle facilities in a pedestrian high crash location per the Vision Zero Action Plan by adding the 12-foot multi-use trail, the 6-foot sidewalk, and adding signalization on Country Club Road. And let's talk about lighting. Right now, the lighting conditions are pretty much non-existent. This one light pole is on the Wendy's property over by Military. And according to the TPA's Vision Zero Master Plan, fatal and serious injury crashes involving pedestrians occur in dark or unlit conditions. So, therefore, we're adding 42 pedestrian light poles to be installed as part of this project. This project also provides facilities for those who need it. This little map that you see here, the project is outlined in yellow, and then the purple area is the traditionally unserved areas. This is from the TPA Vision Zero Action Plan, and within the 1 mile area of the project location, you can see that about 3/4 of the area within the 1 mile is typically unserved. In addition, this project provides facilities for those who most likely or may not have a car. So bike pedestrian facilities are more important in this area. Typically, people in this area actually earn $20,000 less than most people in Palm Beach County. In addition, the school that this project site is zoned for is Hope Centennial Elementary School. This project is biking distance from that school, and not by the flows, by how the crow flies, by actual biking distance. In addition, this project exceeds design standards that are part of the scoring criteria. Instead of a 10-foot multi-use trail, we're proposing a 12-foot multi-use trail. Instead of a 5-foot sidewalk, we're proposing a 6-foot sidewalk. Instead of just general lighting, we're actually doing pedestrian lighting, and we're also adding those high-visibility crosswalks and hawk crossings at the mid-block crossing. This project is not a Tier 1 project in the LRTP, but I would like to point out that this is a comfortable alternative for this section of Belvedere Road. Belvedere Road is a Tier 1 in the LRTP, and as a biker or pedestrian, I would definitely prefer to go through the residential neighborhood than be along Belvedere Road. And finally, this project connects to existing facilities. There are existing facilities that just end on both Military and in the residential neighborhood, so we'll be actually providing those connections. This project is close to transit hubs. It's on Palm Tran Route 44, which is the crosstown, which connects to downtown West Palm Beach's transit hub to the east and Vista Center to the west. Cherry Road is located right in the middle of it all, less than 1 mile from Palm Beach International Airport. This project
You guys are at 15 minutes now. Do you have a lot more slides?
Nope, just like 3.
Okay.
This project has access to shops and parking, as you can see here, direct and park. So you can see the shops to the west and the parks to the east, less than a mile. And this project is in the community redevelopment plan. It's under Section 4, Focus Area 5, Infrastructure. And this project has received lots of public support and has been part of a lot of public outreach efforts. We have letters of support from Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, PBIA, and Palm Beach County, which is right here. We have mailed mailers to all the residents and have a public outreach meeting. We had no issues. And Palm Beach County has reviewed the project and signed off on it. And that would be it. Do you have any questions?
Okay, Margie, whose hand is up first?
Okay, Fadi.
Okay, Fadi. And we have some
somebody. Okay, I just have a question about, you mentioned you have pedestrian lighting, and could you please talk more about the pedestrian lighting and the crosswalk, what you're providing on this corridor?
Fadi, just for clarification, are you asking about the signalized crosswalk, the fog, or about pedestrian lighting throughout the entire project?
I think in general, you mentioned pedestrian type kind of lighting. I'd be just interested to know more about what you're proposing. And yeah, I mean, if you have any mid-block or crossing, I mean, just overall information.
Corey, I'll let you answer that.
Yeah, I can speak to that. So we're proposing this would be pedestrian scale lighting. Typically, you'd see it at the back of the sidewalk on the multi-use trail side on the north, and then also on the south side. So that'll just help at night to provide a more well-lit area. As Heather mentioned, there's really only one light pole existing today, and it's all the way at the west side. So there's essentially no lighting out there today, even though there are some smaller existing sidewalks. So we would have pedestrian lighting along all of the proposed sidewalks. And then the mid-block crossing, when we were out there, we see a lot of people coming from that neighborhood to the east. And there's actually a shopping center to the west, a Walmart to the south, and people are crossing at that Cherry Road and Country Club intersection, which currently has no marked pedestrian, not even striping. So we do see the benefit of putting a pedestrian activated. She mentioned a hawk signal. So basically walk up, press the push button, and that'll cause a red light to stop the vehicles so that the pedestrians can safely cross and get to their shopping centers, whether it be, in that case, it would be to the south, to the Walmart most likely.
Follow up, do you have any illustration about your pedestrian lighting? And for the hawk system, usually there's a minimum guidelines regarding how many people should cross and the speed and the volumes. Have you done any check to see if it meets the guideline for a hawk system?
So yeah, at this point in the preliminary stages, we don't have pedestrian counts or vehicle counts yet. That would have to be done during the design phase of the project.
Anything else, Daddy?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay, Margie, who's next?
I have Joanne has her hand raised.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for that great presentation. One quick question. Did you have any pedestrian count data that you were able to look at as part of your presentation for existing pedestrian counts?
Corey, we were going to do that as part of the design part phase of the project.
Right. Yeah, go ahead, Heather.
When we went out there, we did see pedestrians.
So right. Zoom struggle. Yeah, we have been in the field more than once. So at this point, we feel pretty confident just from the visual observations we've had, but we don't have exact counts in hand at this point. But that would definitely be part of the process once we move more towards the design phase of the project.
This is Elise from Westgate CRA again. From experience, there are a lot of people who live in the neighborhood, Belvedere Homes. They walk to Walmart and to the nearby shopping center. They are also students who work there from schools to go back to the neighborhood. You can tell again by experience on the south side, there is a goat trail there showing that there are a lot of people who works from the community, from the residential community to the shopping center where Walmart is located and also where a lot of other shopping facilities are on Cherry and Military. We don't have a number, but empirically, there are a lot of people using that segment from the community to Military for one reason or another.
Okay, thank you. I guess there's probably budgetary constraints that Country Road that leads to Walmart that wasn't included as part of the scope.
Yes, if we were to include the Country Club Road, would be a lot more expensive. I think right now it's already over $1 million.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
All right, I have Brian
Ruscha
is next.
Okay, Brian?
Hey, this came up earlier when we were talking about horizontal clearances with the FHWA. Folks, on your slide, the 12-foot typical section, the lighting for the pedestrian scale lighting, I'm not sure if it's possible to see that again. The proximity of the lighting structure, you know, the lamp posts to the trail look pretty close. So I know it's in good faith you're putting in a 12-foot wide path, but when you're putting the lighting kind of uncomfortably close to the pathway, it serves as in some ways as a way of narrowing the path. So if you have any extra space to work with in the right-of-way, I'd recommend looking at that a little bit closer so that it's not immediately adjacent to the path, because you have a, you know, 3-foot wide typical handlebar. If someone's riding closer to the edge of the roadway, it might make it a little bit more squeamish for them if there are two bikes passing each other, which might have a high likelihood since it seems like a real need for, you know, improvements in this area. And then secondly, with regards to Hawk, did you explore other traffic control scenarios where that intersection is located, such as a full traffic signal or a roundabout in conceptual development?
The horizontal clearance understood. That we do have space where we could move that light fixture out to the side in some of the wider right of way areas, but some other ones it is going to be pretty tight. We can revisit that. And then as far as other crossing features, we actually did consider a roundabout at the intersection far to the east, which would be Cherry Road and Quail. So we laid that out conceptually, and just the right of way, it wasn't fitting in the space we had available. We have not considered one at Country Club in Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that could be explored. And then other than, you know, we felt like the Hawk signal just provided the most safety benefit as far as just having the vehicles completely stop when it's activated by a pedestrian. But we could explore some other options there as well.
The only reason I bring up the hesitation with the Hawk signal was because of the proposed state legislation to remove these types of signals. I don't think that's going to come up again. I haven't heard that it's going to come up again, but there have been instances where the hawk signals have been taken out and replaced just with full traffic signals because most drivers understand them, which could be something to consider. But again, that would change how you look at your warrant studies in the future. And, you know, something to consider in design as you move this thing forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Good presentation.
Anything else, Brian?
That's it.
Okay, I'm going to keep going, but I'd ask everyone, we're well over 5 minutes, so the team, if you keep your responses yes, no, as short as possible, and just, I think these are really good questions, so we're going to keep going with it. Margie, anybody else?
I have David Willock has his hand up.
Okay. Okay, David.
I just have a quick question. I thought this was a really good project last year. At the beginning of the presentation, I think Heather said that it was basically the same project as last year. I was wondering what the changes were.
Okay, yeah, good question. So one of the major changes, we actually wanted to have a continuous sidewalk on the south side. But that wetland area where you see the vegetation, there's an existing fence there, and we coordinated with DOT, and they said we basically could not reconfigure that fence. So there's just not enough space to fit a sidewalk and continue that south sidewalk. So that's one of the bigger change. We end that sidewalk on the south at the corner of Cherry Road and Country Club. And other than that, we did have a raised median at one point we were trying to get in there that we could add some landscaping. But coordinating with Palm Beach County, it proved difficult because of currently it's a two-way left turn lane. And they preferred to keep that as is so that we're not shortening any of the storage queues for the access. So I would say those are the two major changes from before.
Okay, those are understandable. All right, thanks.
Anything else, David?
No, that's it.
Margie, anyone else?
I don't see any other hands up.
Okay, I guess I'll finish. Last year, my take on this was you had a Country Club Road. My comment was you have two county properties, and I felt that really instead of squeezing in something, the county should be approached about putting the sidewalks potentially on the county properties, and I'm still going to make that recommendation this year. I mentioned there was one of the members mentioned a roundabout at Country Club Road. I think that's really something that should be explored. The fact that you have county properties at that corner, you could get additional right-of-way you would need. The other advantage of a roundabout is you would get rid of you would not need the center turn lane for a significant portion of the road, which would allow more landscaping, reduced impervious. The roundabout would function as the left turn lane. It would also provide a traffic calming feature. My next comment is you should really be looking at 10-foot lanes based on the context. This one is not a comment, it's a question. Who is going to maintain the hawk signal? And if the county has not seen a warrant study, will they maintain it?
I can, Elise Michel, Westgate CRA, I can answer the last part. Palm Beach County is going to maintain, the project after it is completed. We have a memorandum of understanding with them that they will work on the design and the construction. They will be the administrator of the project. And once it's completed, the CRA will work with the county to have it maintained also. The CRA will provide funding, but the county will be the lead entity for the maintenance.
Okay. And my final comment is something you could, in this, actually in this context, really an RRFB would be effective. It's been shown to be effective. So one of the things you could consider is, because it sounds like the desire line is the residential walking down Country Club to the Walmart. If the RRFB was moved east of Country Club in that median, where you have the gored out median, you'd have a two-stage crossing, and that could be an RRFB. It'd be significantly lower cost. And I think that's something, you know, we have a limited amount of TA funds for, there's more good projects than there's money, and I have serious concerns if a hawk is really needed in the right traffic control device here. So I think if there's not any other comments, Margie, we'll move on.
I don't see any other hands raised.
Yeah, and we're kind of well, we're 15 minutes off schedule now, right? So.
Now you're cutting into, well, you cut into your 15-minute break. So yeah. Your next presentation from Royal Palm would be at 3 o'clock. So if you want to take a brief break until 3, and then...
Yeah, you guys...
Thank you. Thank you, Eric, for your comments.
Okay. Yeah, let's do a 5-minute break. We'll come back at 3:05. We need a motion, or we'll just...
You can take a brief recess. That's fine.
Yeah. We'll do 5 minutes instead.
Okay.
3:05, everyone? Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Adamo, I do see that you're sharing your screen, but I'm going to stop your sharing, or if you could stop your sharing until we call the meeting back to order officially, and the chair recognizes your presentation.
Okay, that's fine. I was just making sure it worked. Okay.
Yeah, if you want to click through it really quick, it looks fine on my end here. And there is a bit of a delay from what we see. So if you're talking from something, it's just going to be like 1 to 3 seconds. Okay. It looks like everything's working.
Okay. I will stop that for now.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're ready to restart. Can everyone hear me?
Barbara? Yes. And okay. We do have Adamo. He did share a screen, but I had just to make sure it worked. So he is ready to go whenever we're all set.
Okay, so next it's Village or Royal Palm Beach, correct? ADA improvements?
Correct.
Okay. Welcome to begin. 10 minutes. Try to keep it at that.
All right. Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Adamo DeSisto. I am the project engineer for the Village of Royal Palm Beach, and I have a real quick and easy one for us. I'm pretty confident we can get back on schedule, actually, with this one. But so this is the Village's 2020 application for the Transportation Alternatives Program, and as mentioned, we have the ADA Improvements Phase 2 project. So for project selection, on the right here, we have a map of the village, and you can see that I have some areas boxed in here. There are two different neighborhoods that we're looking into. We have La Mancha, the subdivision, and the Saratoga Pines subdivision. And if we zoom in here, we can see all of the different proposed intersections for the improvements. We have connectivity running all along the outside of these neighborhoods, and this project is just going to be bringing that connectivity into the neighborhoods, as we'll see in the next slide. So we propose the construction of new sidewalk connections and curb ramps where none currently exists, and the reconstruction of ADA deficient curb ramps. This will provide safe and convenient places for all pedestrians to cross residential streets without needing to travel over grass or through driveways. Minor drainage work may be included to maintain the function of existing swales. No easement acquisition is required. This is all going to be in the right-of-way of the road owned and maintained by the Village of Royal Palm Beach. And you can see that the project is just taking where we do not have sidewalk connections, and we are adding them. Pretty simple. Up here shows a typical section where, as mentioned before, we have no connections to the road and an existing swale, and we are going to be adding in the sidewalk connections and, if necessary, adding in these little drains. On the left here, this picture is actually a sister project that we have funded through the TPA that's currently being constructed now. It's the same exact type of project, and you can see exactly what I'm talking about, where since we have this existing swale and to get the ADA slopes, we didn't want to disrupt the normal drainage of the area and create a drainage problem. So we drop in a little drain. Usually it can connect to the under drain that is already existing, and if not, it's a simple core to the nearby catch basins. The main benefits are promoting safe alternative transportation by extending the pedestrian pathway network into the target neighborhoods. So there will be uninterrupted off-road travel from residents to various points of interest, such as parks, schools, businesses, and bus stops. And it will work in tandem with other TPA projects that we have, such as the FPL pathway lighting project and the pedestrian wayfinding project, to bolster the village's pedestrian pathway network. And this project already has community support. Included in our application are letters of support from Principal Armis of Royal Palm Beach High and Principal Mikowski of H.L. Johnson Elementary School. And for this project, we also got input from the residences. The TPA advised me during our pre-application meeting that they wanted to see something, some sort of outreach to the residences that will be directly adjacent to these proposed improvements. About 100 letters were sent out to the residences, and you can see a section of what was sent out to them there, where it's a letter from me explaining the project and showing the before and after pictures, what they could expect to see. And we didn't receive anything back from that, even though they were given the option to call or email or anything like that. And we didn't anticipate any issues with it anyway, since it's a straight up improvement. So in conclusion, the Village of Royal Palm Beach respectfully requests consideration of our 2020 application to the Transportation Alternatives Program for the ADA Improvements Phase 2 project. The total construction cost is estimated to be around $720,000, and that number is based on the sister project that I told you we are already under construction with. And yeah, we're just talking about putting in sidewalks and where required small drainage structures. And that's it. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. 5 minutes.
Woo! Is that a record?
Yeah, we did. It's a new record. Margie, who's got the first question?
It's Ted. He has his hand raised.
All right, Ted.
I've unmuted you, Ted.
Okay. My question is, are either of these neighborhoods or subdivisions under HOAs or POAs?
No. They are all public and under the village's
and jurisdiction. How many homes are there in these two?
That I don't know. I can bring up just to get a basic idea really quickly. They're fairly large, both of them, and especially La Mancha is quite sprawling. So I can quickly pull up a map for us to look at here. So here is one of the neighborhoods. This is Saratoga Pines. So fairly large.
I can't look at it. I'm blind. So if you can give a short description, that'd be great because it doesn't get read by a screen reader. So a short description
okay.
So that somebody else can ask you questions.
Sure, sure. What I have up right now is just a Google Map aerial of the areas that we're looking at. Since I don't have the number of homes off the top of my head here, just to show how large the areas that we're looking into are. There are improvements going to be all along this area that I'm circling in here, and then this neighborhood over here.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Any additional questions, Ted?
No, I'm all set. Thank you.
How wide are the lots? Maybe that would help you get a context.
The lots are, I think, 80 to 100 foot. It's around, I believe, 60 intersections within, sprawled throughout. I could get a number if that's something that could help. I could probably find a way to get a general estimate. But they're fairly large areas.
Any idea the square mileage of the two areas combined? Google Maps might actually have that on a graph on the side.
I think I can calculate that if we want. Come on. Okay, so for the first, I have, it says about 951,000 square meters.
Okay.
And that's for the smaller one. The larger one is significantly larger than that. But, yeah, if that's something that that you guys would like, I can, on my own time, I'm sure, come up with something to not drag you through all this.
Is that something you want them to respond afterwards, Ted? Or
no, I'm fine with the information I got from him.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. No problem. Thank you.
Nope, I'm all set.
Okay, Margie, who's got their hand up next?
I have Stephanie with her hand raised.
Okay. Stephanie.
What is the median income of the two neighborhoods that you are proposing these improvements?
That's in our application. I don't know that off the top of my head. These are not these are not low income. This is probably high to medium for our area. But I believe that's a question asked in the applications, and I did the actual numerical value of that in there, I'm sure.
Okay, thank you. And then just curious, the second part is this in the Vision Zero? Are there any of these areas in the Vision Zero Action Plan or Tier 1?
No, they are not. I don't think there's any of that in the village at all, actually.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, who's next, Margie? See, Fadi has his hand physically raised. But
yes, I was going to say Fadi.
Okay, Fadi.
Thank you. Are you providing the W11 to the pedestrian sign addition to these ramps?
What is that? I'm sorry.
The pedestrian sign, are you adding pedestrian sign when you provide the ramps? I know you're not actually providing crosswalk, but you're bringing the ramps to connect your sidewalk. Are you adding a pedestrian sign?
No, this is in residential areas. We don't plan on adding any signs. The only thing that we would do is if the existing stop bar, we don't have the required 4 feet from it, we'll be adjusting the stop signs there, but we don't intend on adding extra signage into our neighborhoods.
Okay.
Okay, Fadi, anything else for you? Good. Okay. Margie, who's next?
I don't have anyone else with their hand raised.
Okay, I had a quick question, kind of not related to the grant, but how does this is a common issue with these retrofits in the neighborhoods with the swales. How's your experience been with that 4-inch pipe? It's a common problem with these retrofits. I'm curious.
Right. And the first time around, we threw around a lot of different ideas on how to handle that. The drains are working very well. We already have a lot of under drain in our neighborhoods that sort of work in tandem with the swale. So it's more of an extension of that. But instead of putting it in the driveways, we're putting it along there. And you can see in that picture in the bottom there, it's a big monolithic pour. To get the slope down into it, and it's worked well so far. We haven't had any problems with it. The project isn't completely done, but you can see we do have some in the ground already. Time will tell, of course, but for the flows that we have here and the slopes that we were trying to accommodate for, it's not like we're making huge mounds of soil that are strictly damming up the area. It's more just to get our 2%. We didn't want to create a problem, so it's more preemptive. With that being the case, we're usually having sheet flow over it anyway. It's just an extra precaution so that we don't create a drainage problem. We would, of course, because this project is years off, and we'll be able to get really good data on the existing one, and we will most certainly make changes if that comes up and is necessary.
Okay. All right, Margie, any other hands raised?
I don't see any other. I'm sorry, Joanne.
Okay, Joanne.
I have a quick question, and I think my question is for TPA staff. I was looking at the scoring spreadsheet, and it looks like a TPA score is manually entered for this project of 25, and the rest of the cells are formulas. And I'm curious if that was intentional or if the sum was not used for particular reasons.
I will address that. Actually, we just realized that mistake. We just cross-checked all the projects, and we did realize that mistake on the formula for this particular project. So it should have been 40 points. But actually, the Village of has requested that we remove half a mile of it, so that would bring them down to 38. But I will show that updated score when we get to the discussion point.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any others, Margie?
I don't see any others.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next one, Village of Wellington, C2 Canal Multipurpose Pathway.
Mark, okay, thank you, everybody. Have a good afternoon.
You're welcome. All right, I think we're getting pretty close to being back on schedule.
So Ryan, or Mike O'Dell, if you want to unmute, we're ready for your presentation. Ryan?
Presentation now.
Oh, there we go. I had to unmute you.
Okay. Can you see the title screen?
Not yet.
Okay.
If you hit the share screen button at the bottom, it may pop up with another window asking you which screen to share. And if you're having problems on your end, oh, it looks like it's there. You just need to go to PowerPoint and open your presentation. Okay, it looks like we have it on our screens.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Harding with the Village of Wellington with Mike O'Dell also. And thank you for giving us this opportunity to present. We are going to tell you about the Village's plans for a multi-use pathway along Wellington's C2 Canal. Before we get into the details of the application, I want to state that we have submitted to the TPA a collection of emails and survey responses from our public outreach efforts regarding the proposed pathway. We received several emails from residents that live on Horseshoe Trace expressing their concerns about constructing a pathway along their street. As a result, we would like to revise the application to remove the Horseshoe Trace portion and only include the C2 Canal portion of the pathway. The rest of the presentation will reflect this change in scope. This is an aerial showing the subject area of the project, which is located in the northwest corner of Wellington. The thick blue lines are existing 8-foot and 10-foot multi-use pathways in the area. These are pathways along Binks Forest Drive, Bent Creek Road, Flying Cow Ranch Road, Aero Club Drive, Paddock Drive, and Greenview Shores Boulevard, all in the vicinity of the proposed pathway along the C2 Canal. The two brown parcels are schools that are located at either end of the proposed pathway, Binks Forest Elementary and Wellington Landings Middle School. And the pathway would connect Greenview Shores to Bent Creek Road. This is a more wide range view that includes the proposed pathway in light blue. The proposed pathway provides direct connections to Binks Forest Elementary and Wellington Landings Middle School. And although the focus is on providing more routes and safer routes to schools, the pathway also provides additional access points to the greater pathway system within Wellington. This pathway system provides access to other schools, shopping centers, and an environmental preserve. For example, the pathway provides a connection to the Binks Forest pathway and the Flying Cow Ranch pathway, which heads south to the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Environmental Preserve in the southwest corner of Wellington. From there, you can go east to the Greenbrier Boulevard and Greenview Shores Boulevard, Aero Club Drive, 6.4-mile loop. So one of the critical aspects of the pathway, in addition to access to schools, is access to the larger pathway system. This is the cross section showing the 10-foot proposed pathway within a C2 canal right-of-way. The C2 canal right-of-way is 50 feet wide. moving on to the TPA scoring criteria. By providing additional access from area neighborhoods to an alternative travel mode pathway system, the pathway can have positive environmental impacts by reducing vehicular trips in the area, particularly for children from surrounding neighborhoods that can use the path to get to Binks Forest Elementary or Wellington Landings Middle School. The pathway also improves non-motorized facilities at the signalized intersection of Binks Forest Drive and Greenview Shores Boulevard. And as I've mentioned previously, the project provides direct access to Wellington Landings Middle School and Binks Forest Elementary. It also improves non-motorized safety, by providing a mile-long 10-foot shared-use pathway. This map shows the traditionally underserved population within 1 mile of the project. It would provide direct access to and from a neighborhood with 26% traditionally underserved population within the area. And as previously mentioned, the project connects to existing non-motorized facilities, specifically being the existing 8-foot and 10-foot pathways within Wellington. The proposed pathway is within 1 mile of two shopping centers, those shopping centers being Loxahatchee Groves Commons on Southern Boulevard and Wellington Marketplace on Greenview Shores Boulevard. It is also within 1 mile of Neighborhood Park, Forestaria Park, which is on Greenview Shores Boulevard, and it's about a half a mile from the proposed pathway. In this funding application, we're asking for funding for excavation, embankment grading, siding, stripage, siding, the pathway itself, and then mobilization and general conditions for an estimated construction cost of approximately $362,000. Okay, so that concludes our presentation, and we respectfully request your consideration of our 2020 Transportation Alternatives application, and we will take any questions you might have at this point.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Margie, who's first?
No one has popped up yet. Looking for physical hands. I don't see any hands raised. Oh, Brian.
I'll jump in just real quick. The comment that I provided earlier regarding the score was for Wellington's project. So that's the score that changed in the formula. There was a mistake. It was marked as 25 points, but actually it should have been 40 with the request of them shortening the project from 1.5 mile to just a mile. That brings it down to 38 points.
Okay. So, Eric, on this one, I did have Brian and then Ted.
Okay. Let's go in order. Brian first.
Hey, thanks for the presentation, Ryan and Michael. Do you have an idea of how you're going to handle connections at intersections, or is this not going to connect to intersections at all? Will just be independent.
At the northern end, there would be a crosswalk across Bay Creek Road. But it's a pathway that would connect to that road and have a crosswalk there. The southern end would connect to an existing pathway that's along Greenview Shores Boulevard. And then there's an existing crosswalk at that intersection.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Ted.
Actually answered my question. Oh, there you go. That actually answered my question. Thank you.
Okay, great.
I have Fadi next.
Okay, Fadi.
Good presentation. Besides the two connection at both ends, how would people connect to it?
Those would be the two main connecting points, and then as I mentioned, it would be connecting into the existing pathway along Greenview Shores Boulevard and then at Big Creek Road. So it's sort of a, I call it like a missing piece where it just provides greater access to the outside pathway system.
Okay, any other, Martin?
I'm looking. I don't see anybody else with their hand raised.
Okay, I don't have any questions.
On this one, Chair, I will note we did receive a number of public comments, but we do have the Lake Worth project.
Okay. And
I'm sorry, Lake Worth Beach. And mm-hmm. then we can do the public comments.
Right, I think we said we're going to do all the public comments at the end. So.
Right, yes.
Okay. All right, it's actually, we're back on schedule, so want to do Lake Worth Beach. Are they ready? Are they online?
I do have Jamie Brown is present, and you can share your screen when you're ready, Jamie.
All right, just a moment. Did that pop up?
Yes.
Okay, Jamie, I'm just going to try to be fair and remind everyone 10 minutes. So.
Okay.
Yeah, just try to, I'll give you a warning at 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is everyone ready?
Yes, and we can see your screen.
Okay. So my name is Jamie Brown. I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Lake Worth Beach. This afternoon, I'm going to be going over our 2020 submission for the Transportation Alternatives Program. So the basic statement given as kind of the objective for this project was, voters approved a four-year infrastructure bond back in November of 2016, but there are still numerous city infrastructure needs in excess of available funding. While the bond program provided a much-needed boost, it only addresses about a third of Lake Worth Beach. Proposed project will help address ADA issues in areas not covered under the bond by providing for the installation of new ADA compliant ramps, detectable warnings, and sidewalks in locations that are currently missing and therefore increasing pedestrian accessibility and maneuverability. I'll break that down here in a moment, but I first wanted to show you guys some photos of what some of our roadways looked like just a couple of years ago. Here's some beautiful potholes, with sand base, of course. This one we actually paid extra for. This is one of our custom patchwork jobs. These cost more money. Of course, sidewalk and lack of curbing. I mean, this is just, it's pretty insane, some of the things. And then we've got, the old school metal lip that follows around the corner radius here that we still have throughout the city. So, I show you some of these photos just to kind of illustrate how historically, the city has basically neglected infrastructure for decades. So now we're playing catch up. So the bond program that I referred to on that very first slide, when I got here back in 2011, there was, no master plans or anything in place. So we had to get to work. So we put together, a roadway master plan, stormwater master plan. Our utility director went forward and got, the water and hydrant master plan together. And we coupled all these master plans together and came up with our citywide infrastructure master plan, which then became a bond issue. So back in August 26th of 2014, we actually put this bond issue on the ballot for $63.5 million. Unfortunately, it's low voter turnout, so we ended up losing that ballot issue by 24 votes, which was soul-crushing. But we got back to the drawing board. We put it back out again for referendum on the November 8th of 2016, the presidential election. It passed overwhelmingly with 69%. So basically what this program was doing was for a third of the city and $40 million, we were going to address all of our infrastructure needs as far as we could get. We prioritized the projects based on life safety, proximity to neighborhood schools, you know, the PCI rating, which came out of our roadway master plan, which is our pavement condition index, where they rated every single road in the city between zero being basically no road at all to 100 being a brand new paved roadway. So on all these roadways that we were going to be touching as part of the bond program, we were actually going to address the horrible sidewalk and curb ramp situation as we're doing all those roadways. Now, again, this is only affecting a third of the city, so we still have a majority of the city outside of the bond program where we still have these curb issues and lack of ramps and just ADA issues citywide. So we looked at programs like this to kind of get some funding that we're not seeing in our annual allocation through our budget process. Now, these maps are really small, I know, but the city's basically broken up into four different districts. And if you look really hard, you can see a lot of red dots on these maps, and those basically show each intersection where these curb ramps are going to be installed. District 3 and 4. And as part of this bond program, we're in year 4 of 4 right now with the bond, but I wanted to show a few before and afters of what some of these roadways look like after we actually pave them. As you see on the left-hand side here, before, there were no curb ramps at all, no crosswalks, and then on the right, you see what it looks like when we got done. Another example at North O Street and 4th Avenue North, no crosswalks, no side, no tactile domes, no anything, and then what it looked like when we completed it. And then another example at South J Street, where we actually all on 2nd Avenue North between, or 2nd Avenue South between Dixie and Federal, we actually did these decorative crosswalks and intersections for the whole stretch. And as you can see, we added, you know, crosswalks as well as the tactile domes and the handicap ramps. So this is an issue that we were kind of battling with. I'll move forward here one more slide. Support for this project has been overwhelming. So Lake Worth is basically made up of 16 different neighbor associations, and they have monthly meetings, which is where most of our support letters came from. Obviously, this is something that affects all of our residents citywide, and it's something we hear about on, you know, pretty much a weekly basis as we deal with a lot of trip hazards and a lot of these issues citywide. So this project was kind of perfect as far as what we needed to accomplish. As we're kind of moving forward and looking what we're going to be doing when we kind of end this bond program as we finish up year 4 of 4 year. So that was my basic presentation to kind of give you an idea of where this money would be going. Any questions or comments?
Okay, Jamie, under 10 minutes. Thank you.
I was trying. I was speaking fast. I was trying.
You have a little more time if you want to elaborate anymore, or?
No, I covered what I wanted to cover there pretty quickly.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't. Marty, who do we
have? I have Ted has his hand raised.
Okay, Ted.
Hi, Ted Goodenough. I'm just wondering why Lake Worth Beach is so far behind with ADA being 30 years old this year. Why are there so many needs in the city that have not been taken care of?
Well, you know, like I said, it's kind of been a few decades of neglect here. I think, you know, there have been different commissions, different ideas, different ways people wanted to actually to budget their funding. And we saw a lot of that go further out east, you know, at the intercoastal parks and boat ramps. And then on the A1A side of things, the beach casino and a lot of funding went toward, I think you'd say, a lot of the bright and shiny things as kind of commissions came and went throughout the years. And then, you know, we got our current slate in and they kind of realized the bones of what really needed to take place. You know, infrastructure is not something that's really, I guess, the politics of it all, like a sexy thing. You know, it's kind of what the bones of what really needs to take place. Luckily, we've had a lot of support with our current slate of commissioners for the past couple of years, where they're understanding that, you know, if you don't really put money into the basics and the bones of your organization and really address your infrastructure, everything else is going to kind of become secondary. So we've been lucky to kind of get the support that we need to kind of move forward doing things we're doing right now, such as doing the very first infrastructure bond in the city's history. So that's hopefully that answered your question. But it was kind of baffling to me as well when I started working here.
To some extent, yes, it did. I know that I believe last year you brought on an ADA coordinator. Has that person concluded a transition plan so that they can be working on these things as well?
We actually do have an ADA transition plan. And for the past 3 years now, we do budget annually to address a lot of those issues in that plan. So that is already in place.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Margie, who's next?
I have Stephanie has her hand up.
Okay, Stephanie.
What is the percentage of locations proposing these changes, these modifications that are impacting the a lower income, a lower median annual meeting income of people? I know Lake Worth is pretty varied in their income levels. So I just didn't know, you know, and it was really hard for me to see on the map. So I apologize if you provided it.
Yeah, it's difficult to see on those maps, but basically districts 1 and 2 our districts are divided by Dixie Highway and then Lake and Lucerne on the east-west. So District 1 and 2 are both the districts that are west of Dixie Highway, and both of those are lower-income areas that would fall in that category. District 3 is basically the northeast corner of the city where the golf course and everything else is. So that's a nicer area. And District 4 is down by the boat ramp and the Bryant Park area and everything else. So about half of the projects would fall in District 1 or 2, which would fall in the income area you're talking about.
Thanks.
Okay. Margie, who's up next?
I have David Willock has his hand raised.
Okay, David.
A very good presentation. I thought I heard in the beginning, it was a little unclear audio, that there was $30 million worth of improvements that were identified. But is that true?
No, I was speaking about the bond issue that we put out that we actually got passed. That was actually $40 million that the bond was.
$40 million, okay.
And that bond covered basically a third of the city's roadways.
Okay, so that's what, roughly, what, 12, 13 million? How much was it?
You're asking about this particular project, how much?
No, I was just wondering how much the bond was that you got.
The bond passed for $40 million. That was the second time around. The first time we went for $63.5 million back on August of 2014. And then the one that actually passed was November of 2016. That was for $40 million.
Okay. I was a little unclear there. I thought you meant that only a third of the $40 million worth of improvements were covered.
No, that $40 million, basically that would that covers a third of the city. And the way we kind of looked at that was, you know, based off PCI rating and some of our other priorities, any road that was rated at a 55 or below was a complete tear up because we had to redo utilities and everything underneath it as well. So that's how that scale kind of started.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm asking. Yeah, I'm wondering what the scope of all the repairs that are needed in Lake Worth are.
Yeah, we addressed everything from, old, 2-inch galvanized water lines all the way up to new asphalt and concrete. Obviously the bond money would only be going toward asphalt and concrete items, and then, you know, our water utility, our sewer utility, obviously the costs for those items were paid for out of those particular revenue funds.
Well, hopefully we'll see you next year and the year after and the year after with more applications and bring more projects in.
That is the goal, to be a pest for you guys.
Perfect. Okay, that's all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Brian has his hand raised.
Okay, Brian.
just really quickly, what is the number of identified improvements or intersections that are going to be improved with the application?
I believe it was just north of 300. I need to go back because I've kind of been going back and forth with Meriger, who's the FDOT representative, about which locations, because we had so much fell on Dixie and Federal, and we're kind of going back and forth as to should those be covered or not as part of this program, because you basically have a city right-of-way intersecting with a state right-of-way, and especially where you do not have traffic signals, where you have to deal with, your vehicle detection and your loops, where you actually go back into the city right-of-way. Where you don't have traffic signals, the question is, do we need to address those as well? So that number is kind of going up and down depending on what we decide on here.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, I don't have a final answer for you yet.
Great. Well, it's good to know it's upwards of 300. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Any other hands, Margie?
I don't see any.
Okay. All right. I guess that, being if there's no other questions for Jamie, that concludes our presentations. So, so now the members, we're going to discuss and vote to accept or move to reorder the project rankings. I guess so. Staff's going to present their scores. Is that correct?
Yes. And at this point, before discussion, if you want to ask if there's any public comments, and then the BTPAC members can discuss, I'll bring up the scores, but we'll hear public comments first.
Correct.
Good afternoon, Chair and committee members. This is Melissa Booth, the Public Relations Manager for the TPA, and we've received 4 public comments through our public comment form process. These, I believe, are all relative to the Wellington project. The first is from Christopher Mills of Horseshoe Trace in Wellington. His comment reads, "This comment is submitted in opposition to the Wellington C2 Canal multi-use pathway. My wife and I have 5 young children that live and play in the neighborhood directly impacted by this proposed project. The proposed project came about very quickly with an unusually limited window for public comment from residents directly affected by the project. The Paddock Park neighborhood already has pre-existing traffic safety hazards. These traffic problems stem from individuals outside the neighborhood dropping off their children to attend Binks Forest Elementary and creating unorganized parking congestion and in opposite traffic flow. On February 27th, the second and final time this project was presented to the public in the span of 8 days, there was a parking lot designated for construction in the neighborhood to accommodate an anticipated increase in traffic flow. The proposed project compounds the pre-existing traffic hazards by burdening our neighborhood with additional and unnecessary traffic overflow to accommodate commercial users. Paddock Park is a neighborhood with expansive yards, and the Village of Wellington has not provided detail on the effects of constructing additional impervious surfaces on the runoff that will occur directly onto the C2 canal. I have concerns that there may be health consequences related to the additional runoff, as a majority of our neighborhood is on well and sewer systems. For these reasons stated above, I respectfully request that the committee deny this grant application, as it appears there are projects on the committee's agenda that are more fiscally prudent and deserving of funding." Okay, the next comment that we have is from Kathleen Bagwell of Horseshoe Trace in Wellington. "I oppose the pathway project for Paddock Park as it is not been explained or examined properly. It will increase traffic in our quiet residential neighborhood. As a parent that utilizes both schools, I question that this pathway is needed. It makes no sense for becoming a way of children to get to school. I urge you to not proceed until more information can be given to those it will directly affect. Most residents aren't even aware of it, nor would they want it if they knew. Then a comment from John and Melissa Ranieri of Horseshoe Trace in Wellington. Regarding the Canal Pathway Project, we are residents of Paddock Park and oppose this project. We feel it will bring an even larger increase of outside traffic into our neighborhood. This traffic will create more congestion with parents attempting to drop children off for school via our neighborhood. On nights and weekends, it will entice people from outside of the neighborhood, possibly resulting in the increase of crime inside of Paddock Park. For these reasons, we oppose the Canal Pathway Project. And our last comment from Jennifer Robbins of Pacer Circle in Wellington, commenting as a Paddock Park One resident, commenting as a Paddock Park One resident to oppose the paving of the C2 canal. See my public record email for more details, and I'm happy to give a more detailed explanation if needed. I am assuming that that must be referencing an email that was sent possibly to Wellington. We did not receive an email that would reference. And that's the end of public comments received, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Staff, was the plan to allow the applicants to comment on the comments briefly? I'm okay with that.
If BTPAC members have a follow-up question to the presenters or applicant, if they're present, you may BTPAC members may raise their hand to ask that question.
Okay, Is there any committee members that wish to ask a follow-up question based on the public comments?
I don't see any hands raised. Oh, I'm sorry, Ryan. Well, Ryan, you're as the presenter. Because Olga is the member.
And Ted raised his hand.
Oh, thank you, Valerie. So, Ted, I've unmuted you.
Thank you. The thing that I heard in the presentation was that Horseshoe Trace was taken out of their request, so I find that the comments are now moot. That's all.
And that is we received that request as of yesterday and just updated that into the project. So the public comments, may have been regarding the original application. So that section has been removed from the project.
Right. Ted, do you want to ask the applicant that directly?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Who had their hand next, Margie? Anyone else?
I have David Willock raised his hand.
Okay, David. Still muted. David needs to be unmuted, I think.
Sorry, every time I was trying to hit the unmute button, another button was popping on there on top of it. I just wanted to mention there was another objection in the Wellington one from Paddock Park. Is Paddock Park, do we know, still included? Because Ted mentioned Horseshoe Trace, and it was mentioned at the beginning that was removed. But I'm not that familiar with Wellington, so I don't know where Paddock Park is.
Ryan, do you want to answer that?
And I can unmute you, Ryan. I've unmuted you.
Okay. Yes, the C2 canal is within the Paddock Park 1 neighborhood.
Okay, so the path still does go through there?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that was my question.
And then I have Brian Rusha raised his hand.
Okay, Brian, yeah.
Just really quickly, Ryan, could you remind us what letters of support did you receive from any of the or what letters of support did you receive with regards to your application? Anything from the schools, parents, or teachers, any associations or anything that we should be aware of?
We had letters of support from, I believe it was the local swim team and a runner's club. And then there were some emails that we submitted to the TPA just yesterday. There were some negative emails and there were a couple of positive emails as well.
And Chair, just for the record, we will attach those emails to the minutes for this meeting as an exhibit. And they were forwarded to the funding program team for TPA staff. That way it can be included in their application packet.
Thank you.
Anything else, Brian?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
I don't see any other members with their hands raised. I will note that we do have two attendees with their hand raised. One of them, the name that's listed, John Ranieri. I apologize if I mispronounced that. He already had a public comment read into the record. It is up to you if you want to allow him to speak again. And I don't know if you even want to accept any more public comment as we had already requested that.
No, we think we're compliant with our policies, so let's.
Okay. And then there is another hand raised. It just says CYMI. Melissa, I don't know if that's another person that has already provided public comment, and Eric, I can allow them to speak. But again, these hands were raised after the fact.
Yes, Margie, I don't recognize that.
Okay, so it's after the comment period. Let's keep moving on.
Okay.
Something I want to mention, in the past, everyone's been allowed to vote on a project that's in their city. I believe we have a motion from last year that's still standing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Because that question comes up. So everyone, the past policy has been everyone's allowed to vote, even if your city has a project. So put that out. And then I think about this more, how we vote. My recommendation is we have a discussion, see if there's a second, see if there's a general direction. The other option is we could do a verbal scoring. So what I think is I'd like to see a motion either way from the committee members, how they want to proceed with our BTPAC's ranking.
Can you guys see my screen?
Yes, we can, Valerie.
Okay. I just wanted to pull this up so that...
I'm sorry, Valerie, just to interrupt you. Mr. Ranieri, we are not going to call on you for public comment as that period has ended, and we already received your public comment digitally. So every time you raise your hand, I will keep lowering your hand because the public comment period for this item has ended, and it is now time for committee discussion and voting. I'm sorry, Valerie, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to pull this up. Basically, here's, based on our adopted scoring, you'll see all the projects were pretty close, but Lake Worth Beach, Palm Beach Gardens, and Westgate CRA all scored tied at 41 points. Palm Tran received 37 points. The Village of Wellington, with the updated score, received 38 points. Actually, it should be above this. And then Village of Royal Palm Beach received 35 points. So based on however the committee wants to discuss the projects or re-rank them, I'll let you, Eric, take the discussion from here.
So I think let's start with a general discussion on the projects and see if there's a general consensus. Or I could have a motion how you guys want to do our ranking. How about if someone has a suggestion?
I do have that Stephanie raised her hand. And if anyone does want to make a motion, they will need to unmute their line.
Okay. Stephanie?
So is there a staff recommendation from TPA It's saying these are your six ranks with the top three, Lake Worth, Palm Beach Gardens, and Westgate. Is that what you're recommending to the board?
Our recommendation is basically objective. It's just whatever our objective scoring, however they scored. And so we have a total of $3.1 million available. And so that currently, that funding would be enough to fund the top three projects, Lake Worth, Palm Beach Gardens, Westgate CRA, and then potentially, potentially the Wellington project. And then the other ones would be in the pipeline for Palm Beach, Palm Tran and Village of Royal Palm Beach would be in the pipeline as a desire if additional funds become, available. Just want to mention also these projects are still being, vetted by FDOT and some outstanding items are still being requested. If any of these projects do not meet the timeline, to provide that information and become ineligible, they would fall off the list. The final list in the order that BTPAC ranks it, will be provided to, the committees on the board in July for adoption. So, basically today, the committee would vote on the ranking, whether it be the way that it shook out in the scoring or whether, you guys feel that another project should move up. And then that would move forward unless the project, and if a project becomes ineligible, that would just fall off the list and whatever next project would move up.
Okay, thank you. I have a motion.
Okay, make it.
I move that Lake Worth, Palm Beach Gardens, and Westgate CRA be the top three, and then we should have a discussion on the fourth one. Money.
The motion, is there a second? Who's got their hand up?
Second, from Brian.
Thank you. Even though you are raising your hands, Bob and Fadi, I do need it verbally for the record, so I'm going to mark it as Brian was the seconder on that one.
Okay, so it's moved and seconded that Lake Worth Beach, Palm Beach Gardens, Westgate CRA will be ranked 1, 2, and 3. And the remaining three projects will be discussed. So let's discussion on that motion. Who's got their hand up next?
I see Bob has his hand raised. Okay, Bob, I've unmuted you. And then followed by Ted.
Thank you. Okay. My feeling is that actually I want to talk a little bit for Jean because she's not here and she's always the one that really has a point of view on how to handle the rankings. But what she always says is that the good projects always come to the top. And, I really don't have any disagreement at all with where the staff came out with their rankings. They look pretty good to me, and the top three really are the top three, and the other ones are of lesser importance. So I would just leave it the way it is. Take the rankings from the staff and move those forward.
Okay. Who's next, Marty?
I have Ted. Ted, I've unmuted you.
Thank you. I have a comment on Westgate and that they've put this in for 2 years in a row and they haven't done a study on the number of people that this is going to affect. And with that in mind, I would lower it. Because I think some of the other projects were more thoroughly studied with how it would affect the population.
Okay. Anything else, Ted?
No, that'll do.
Okay, I've muted you. I had Joanne and then Fadi.
Okay. Joanne's next.
I have a quick question that is directed towards staff, and it's my first year on this board, so I'm not familiar. For the category of non-motorized connectors, the 6.4 project improves non-motorized facilities at interchange, signalized intersection, bridge, or railroad crossing. It doesn't look like anybody received any points for that, and I'm just curious what's the criteria? I mean, at the very least, signalized intersections seem to be involved with a lot of these projects.
That score. I'm not sure. Andrew, are you on the line? I know you're a little bit more familiar with the scoring for the projects on this.
I'm here. Sorry. I'm looking right now at the scoring. Jason, if he has any comments, he can chime in as well if he knows the answer.
I'll pull up the scoring too. This is pretty small, but
so I know I didn't see any interchanges, bridges, or railroad crossings. The signalized intersections, I'm trying to think about projects with that. So I don't, Cherry Road didn't get all the way to the intersection for that project.
And the bus stops wouldn't be at intersections because they're usually, those were really ADA connections from the sidewalk to the bus stop for the bus to pick up people. I'm not sure about the other ones.
Yeah, this is Jason. So for Lake Worth Beach, those improvements are all localized, and the intersections that were signalized were the ones that FDOT is going to improve with a separate project, so those ones were removed.
Okay.
Palm Beach Gardens and Kyoto Gardens Drive stopped short of the intersections. Westgate CRA did the same. Village of Wellington, they discussed the two intersections, but they were not signalized, and they already had crosswalks, or one was proposed as part of the project, but it was unsignalized. Palmtran was not at intersections, and Village of Royal Palm Beach was all in a residential neighborhood, not at any signalized intersections or railroad crossings. So none of them really crossed thing that would warrant giving them points in terms of a railroad crossing or a signalized intersection or a significant barrier, like a barrier at an intersection that would need to be dealt with some kind of treatment.
Okay, I understand now. Thank you.
Sure, yeah.
So, Eric, I had Fadi followed by David.
Okay, just don't want to remind everyone that we're debating. The question on the table is, do we proceed with the ranking the first three and only discussing the next three? So, Fadi?
I think I agree that, the first three have the highest merit. My only thing is, if you add the first three, we're at 2.9 million. And if you look at Palmtran project, it's about 300,000, which is a number of intersection, which basically, if there's 200,000 remaining, that would cover two-thirds of that project, and I feel it has more merit than Village of Wellington project. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Patty. Who's next, Margie?
It's David.
Okay.
I would tend to agree with Fadi. I believe the top three, like everybody else thinks, are the three that are rated 1, 2, 3. I'm kind of up in the air about the fourth one, so I would go with the system. I'm fine with it.
Okay, who's next, Margie?
I don't have any more hands raised, and I don't see any. Oh, I'm sorry, Stephanie raised her hand.
Okay. Does anyone else want to go before the person who makes the motion speaks again? Okay, Stephanie.
So since we're talking about 4, 5, and 6, I mean, the reason why I wanted to bring it to discussion on the last three is because I personally think PalmTran, because they cover a wider area, they're serving a significant amount of the people that are in need, and that if there's any money that can go towards that left over from the three top, that I think that they deserve to be the fourth, because not only are they serving underserved people, but they are serving a larger population, because their proposed project covers a large amount of areas. So that would be my number four. And then 5 and 6 is kind of a toss up between Royal Palm and Wellington.
Okay. Anyone else, Margie?
Every time I say no, someone raises their hand, so I'm pausing for a second. No, I don't have anybody.
I just want to interject, because we did receive a public comment after the public comment window closed, but I do want to make everyone aware that that the entire project applications, including maps and aerials of the project details, were provided in a link to all the BTPAC members for review a week prior to this, and that this voting isn't just based on the presentations. The presentations is an opportunity for additional information and Q&A, but all that other, the full project applications and maps were provided previously. So the comment was in reference to the Wellington project to they wanted to ensure that the members were aware that this path was going to pass nearby, I think, the back of homes. So I just wanted to state that for the record that the BTPAC members did receive a link to all the full applications prior to the presentations.
Is there any other committee members that have, Margie, raise their hand?
I have Olga. Hello, all. Sorry, we're all separated. It's a little unusual that we're doing it this way. I've been doing it for many years, like Bob says. And I tend to agree with 1, 2, and 3, because like Bob said, and like Jean would say, the best always come to the rise up to the top, and those are worthy projects. The other three, my Village of Wellington, Palm Tram, and Village of Royal Palm Beach, I think are also worthy. Anytime you see ADA, I always think it's good. So I'm good with the first three, and I think, you know, as a group, we can discuss, you know, how the bottom three get selected or ranked. But overall, I was just doing my numbers while everybody's talking, as we used to do it, you know, after the meeting. We'd all get together, and we each do our own calculations. And I sort of came up pretty much the same way, not totally the bottom three, but they're pretty much in line. So I'm good with the motion as it's made. So just FYI, that's it.
Okay, Margie, any other hands raised?
No, I don't have anybody else.
To clarify, we have a motion in a second for the top three. And then there's been some discussion on the order of the bottom three. A couple members have said they would like to move PalmTran above Wellington, but there hasn't been an official motion on that, right?
Yeah, no, the question is on the adoption. Do you have it, Margie, or do you want me to kind of my recollection of it?
What I understood was that the first three are as ranked, 1, 2, 3, and then the last three was up for discussion. And okay. Then just to note, Fadi did just raise his hand.
Okay, Fadi. He's muted.
You need to unmute your physical phone, Fadi.
Can we modify the motion to include PalmTran as number 4 and vote on it?
It's Stephanie would have, I believe, would have to accept the friendly amendment. I'm kind of ready to, if she does, I'm ready to call the question. And then
Stephanie, you can unmute yourself.
Stephanie would have to accept that, I believe.
I'd accept that modification to the motion.
I couldn't hear you, Stephanie.
I'd accept the modification to the motion to include PalmTran as number 4.
Okay, so someone please repeat the new motion.
So just for clarification, we have Lake Worth Beach ranked as number 1, Palm Beach Garden ranked as number 2, Westgate CRA ranked as number 3, and PalmTran ranked as number 4. And my original first was Stephanie, and the seconder was Brian. And David Willock has raised his hand.
Okay, so the friendly amendment, does that need a second?
No, as long as the motion maker accepts it, it's fine.
I just wanted to mention, we still have to rank the other two. Why don't we just include them, you know, as 5 and 6, because they're going to be contingency projects in case something happens. So we can include in the motion the number 5 and 6 too. I mean, okay. Really only the first 4 are going to get funded at this point. And the 4th one, only a portion of it's going to be funded. But we still have to think, if something goes wrong, where the other 2 projects would be.
So Stephanie also have, who would accept that friendly amendment?
It would be Stephanie.
So I make a motion that number 5 be Village of Wellington and number 6 be Royal Palm Beach.
Okay. So just for clarification, for those that can see on the screen, number 1 is Lake Worth Beach. Number 2 is Palm Beach Gardens. Number 3 is Westgate CRA. Number 4 is PalmTran. Number 5 is the Village of Wellington. And number 6 is the Village of Royal Palm Beach. And to confirm, Stephanie, you were the motion maker. Brian, you were the seconder. And you both are okay with the motion as amended?
Yes.
Okay. Stephanie, you're already unmuted. Oh, you muted yourself.
Okay, so let's debate the current motion, see if there's any other people that want to debate the score that's on the screen that Margie said. Is there any hands raised?
I don't have any hands raised.
Okay, no other hands raised. So the question is on the adoption of the motion. Margie, could you repeat the motion?
So hold on, let me pull up the agenda. So you are doing a motion to recommend adoption of the 2020 Transportation Alternatives Program Project Application Rankings as 1, Lake Worth Beach, 2, Palm Beach Gardens, 3, Westgate CRA, 4, PalmTran, 5, Village of Wellington, and 6, Village of Royal Palm Beach. The motion was made by Stephanie. The seconder was Brian. And if you all prefer, I can do a roll call vote.
I just want to, being that it's Zoom and things, I just want to give a second to confirm there's no further debate. We're ready to call the question. Okay. No hand raised. I think we can do we want to try a verbal first with everyone unmuted.
It may be best actually if we do the roll call vote, so it's accurate. Yeah. So Eric. Okay. Eric Ferguson.
Aye.
And I'm sorry, let me unmute all just to make it easier for everybody. Ted.
Aye.
David.
Yes.
Yash.
Aye.
Fadi.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Olga.
Aye.
Brian.
Aye.
Bob.
Aye.
Joanne.
Aye.
Stephanie.
Aye.
It passes unanimously, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you.
So I just want to reemphasize, we have $3.1 million anticipated to be available. That would mean that the top 3 projects, Lake Worth, Palm Beach Gardens, Westgate CRA, would be fully funded, and Palmtran would be partially funded. They requested $299,000, but looks like we would be short about probably a third of that, $100,000. So that would be partially funded as it stands right now. Wellington and Royal Palm Beach would not be funded as it currently stands. We will bring back the final the projects that were finally vetted and eligible in this order in July for final adoption.
Okay. Next on the agenda is number four, member comments. Are there any member comments? Margie, any hands raised?
I don't see any.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to say thanks, everyone.
Every time, you guys.
Oh, man. I just wanted to say thank you. If we don't get the chance for sticking with us all day today and for your input on these important projects. We really appreciate it.
Hey, Yash, you had your hand raised.
Okay, Yash.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you for your support for transit today. I appreciate all your support. Thank you.
Any other member comments?
No, I don't see any more hands raised.
Okay, I had one quick one. I think the Westgate CRA, I think it's an important project. I'm just wondering, what is the vehicle, if I think there's ways to better engineer it that would save cost savings, that might help some of the Palmtran stops to come in? Would I just write a letter to the committee or something, or what do you suggest?
Could you clarify that? I didn't understand the question correctly.
The Westgate CRA project could be value engineered better, and it would, might allow us to get some bus stops done for Palmtran. What's the appropriate method for me to provide my feedback?
You could provide it to us and then we could share it with them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Is there any other member comments, Margie? Any hand raised?
No, I don't have any more.
Okay, so one final announcement. Our next regular committee meeting is scheduled for June 4th, and we'll provide information in the near future regarding where and how the meeting will be conducted. Thank you for your patience with us as we conducted our virtual meeting today. Before I adjourn, I want to thank staff again for putting this all together. They spent a lot of time training me, and they did a great job. So thank you, staff. At this time, our meeting's adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
Great
job.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll meet in person.
Thank you all.